Let's please turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. Emphasis last week was you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor regard occultists. We ended with that, you know, the example of witches, crystal ball gazers, tarot card readers, tea leaf readers, all those things that are in our culture today. In fact, I told the story, I'm not going to embellish on it, but my dad was trying to prove psychic phenomena scientifically, and there was a very famous psychic in Denver area at the time in the 70s, 60s and 70s, named Kizzy. And so he used me as part of the proof by having her read my tea leaves and reel-to-reel recorder going, you know, while she's takes my, she tells me to put my birth date on a piece of paper, and then she takes it, rips it up, goes into the kitchen, do something with tea leaves. I didn't watch what she was doing, and then comes back and starts to do a psychic reading on me and knew stuff that there's no way she could have known. There was no way my dad knew. He couldn't have told her, tell him this and you'll impress him. And there's a real power there. And that's why God says stay away from it, because it's an evil power to deceive. In fact, it deceived me to think that there's no way she could know this about my life. And yet she does. So there's a power here, and that's what's real. You know, that's what's real. Not God, but this psychic power. And almost deceived me into hell. I mean, that's what I was living that until I go to a Christian movie and God changes my life. So, Leviticus 19:30, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. And, you know, we emphasize there, it really means to study the Word of God, to go to the synagogue on a day that you're taking off from work, because you know what, if we work whenever we want to, how often are we picking up the Bible? Whenever. And in those days, you couldn't just pick up your Bible that's sitting around on the table. You had to go to the synagogue to have the ruler of the synagogue to read it to you. And so if you didn't go there, you're not going to hear it. If you don't, what happens if you don't hear the Bible for a few months, a year or two or whatever? You're going to be back to leaning on your own understanding in all your ways, not acknowledging God. And then you're ending up destroyed as a country. And that's what's happening in our country. Our country doesn't read the Word of God. They don't hear it ever in school. They don't hear it at all. And look what happens to us. In just one generation, it's in the toilet because we turned away from the Word of God. And my sanctuary, I am the Lord. Do it because I created you, and I know what's going to happen if you don't. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not, you know, psychic phenomena stuff. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That's what we left with off with last week. And then in verse 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. It says man. And so, you know, we should always apply the Word of God. Nobody's right. Now, but in context, the gray-headed, what is the gray-headed man in context? He's a Jewish, God-fearing man. We have to remember, God wrote it to them, but it's for us. So what was the application? When you're writing the law of God to a couple million Jews sitting in Mount Sinai area, and the law is for who? It's not for the Canaanite that's across the river. It's for you. And what is that man within the nation of Israel? He is obeying all the other commandments. And what happens if he doesn't obey the commandments? What if he says, you know, take your God and, you know, I'm not going to be part of this. I'm a Jew, but and thanks for getting me across the Red Sea, you know, Gulf Aqaba on dry ground, but I'm not buying into all this. What are they supposed to do with them? Well, depending on what they actually did, either they're executed or they're told, go be a Canaanite. Go back to Egypt. You're kicked out of the nation of Israel. So in other words, you're to honor a gray-headed, God-fearing, in our case, Jesus-loving, older person. Why? Because they've got a life of wisdom. associated with walking with God and seeing children raised. And I wish I could do a do-over on my children. How many would like to do that? Because at the time I was having children, I didn't have the wisdom of God-fearing raising children that I have now. And if I would, and if I then was able to totally raise grandchildren, I'd sit there, I can't wait till the grandchildren, I can try again. So you get gray and you are supposed to get wiser because we've spent more time with the Word of God and more time in the Holy Spirit in our life. And so don't just throw them off to the side. The gray-headed honor them in the presence. And, so in other words, breathe easy because you don't have to rise before Biden, okay? Because that does not apply. or any godless, ruler or gray-headed person because they have no wisdom. If you don't have Jesus, you have no wisdom and no biblical wisdom. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And so you could say, well, Kevin, you just told us the whole nation was Jews. Except for what? If a stranger came from one of the other nations around and is doing what? I want to worship your God. I'm not coming across the border because I get free health care and because I get all the other kudos and I'm coming because I want to worship your God, Israel. I want to turn away from the gods of my people and I want to worship you, like Ruth the Moabitess, like Rahab the harlot, Ruth the Moabitess, Uriah the Hittite, who became the husband of Bathsheba, that was, murdered by King David. I mean, all those people came because they wanted to be a Jew. They wanted to worship the God of Israel. And what God is telling the Jewish people, no racism at all in allowing people and treating them just like you. The Bible is not racist. It differentiates between people who fear God and hate God. That's the differentiation. Besides that, there should be no, there is no racism. It's all based on how you feel about the God of Israel. And you shall do no injustice, verse 35, in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Think about how much this applies to us. How many of you, when you go to the grocery store and you want to weigh a cantaloupe or, anything else on the thing to, because it's so many dollars per pound, how many of you sit there and realize, I don't believe that. And you try this scale and that one's different. And you try this scale and it's different. And all of a sudden you realize, whoa, everybody here going through this store today is being ripped off. And you know what our law of the country was? There's Bureau of Scales and Weights and everything. And these people can be sued out of their mind if they don't have honest scales. Or it used to be that way. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the near future. And all those stickers on your gas pumps and everything else, and they're there saying this is certified to be accurate. Aren't you glad that that's true? Because otherwise you're being ripped off. And God says don't rip people off. Have honest weights when you're dealing with food products and everything else that people are buying and selling with each other. Don't just get rich by ripping people off. That tow truck driver today, he went through four examples of being horribly ripped off by people. And yet he wants to reject the God, strongly reject the God, who makes laws that you don't rip off your neighbor. Which when this country used to at least embrace that concept as a people that had the cultural fear of God, even though they didn't believe in Jesus, it was rare that people would so blatantly rip people off. And so he kicks out God and complains about the effects of a society that's kicked out God. It's truly a psychosis that's hitting our country. Then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. Now we're doing the penalties for breaking all the laws we've covered. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Molech, which is an idol god, it's a sex god of the Moabites and others, he shall surely be put to death. If you sacrifice your son to Molech, then you are to be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy place. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, which I often use. Everybody should have this in their Bible. You should have a front page of your Bible that's blank. They leave it for people to write notes and say, God hates abortion, and then write Jeremiah 7:31, and you can write Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And isn't this something? It really, the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual weakness in high places. That the devil is walking around seeking who he can devour. The devil hates children. And he inspires people to get into sexual immorality and worship sex gods. And then if they have a child that's born by a promiscuous lifestyle, an adulterous lifestyle, a fornicating lifestyle, or whatever else, in the culture at the time, they would say, well, this was actually while I was worshiping Molech, and so I'm going to dedicate my child to Molech. And so that was what they would do, is they would burn their children in the arms of the different gods that they were worshiping, that they would heat them up in a fire, is what archaeologists and historians say, and then sacrifice their children. And chapter 7:30, verse 31 of Jeremiah, God is bemoaning the fact that the Jews that are just about to get judged by Babylon and destroyed, the city's about to be destroyed, and they have built the high places of Tophet. They go up on a hill, and that's where they do their parties in worship to the foreign gods, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is south, the south part of the Temple Mount, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come to my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. This valley is going to be called the valley of slaughter. Why? Because the Babylonians are going to come and the place is going to be totally full of dead Jewish people because of the judgment of God that came. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the field, and no one will frighten them away. In other words, the judgment is going to be so severe that you're going to run out of places to bury, and the bodies are still going to be there, and so the animals are going to take care of the bodies. They're not even going to be able to get a decent burial. Because of, God looks at it and he goes, because of abortion, because of slaughtering your children, this is going to happen. And I want to emphasize again, as I always try to do, our culture is so permeated with the effects of abortion. But aren't we thankful that Jesus died on the cross so that everybody can be forgiven who has been deceived into abortion? But we as Christians have to always be against it because God is against it. And if he's against it, we have to tell people, what do you think about abortion? That doesn't matter what I think. God has commanded that we don't sacrifice our children. If we do, our country will be destroyed. I don't want our country to be destroyed. Again, it's just a simple answer. It doesn't matter what I think. This is what God has said. And if you've been involved in abortion, and that's why you're trying to ping on me, is because you want me to affirm that you've been involved with it and you have a bad conscience about it, you can get right with Jesus and be forgiven. But if you don't get right with Jesus, you're going to stand on judgment day and he's going to, what did you do with your child? And you murdered. And then you'll be judged and you'll be held accountable for murdering your child. But if you trust in Jesus, he can forgive even murder. He did for David. He did for all the other people. He can give you grace. He can give you mercy. Why would you turn away from a God who lovingly will wipe your tears away and make it so as if you had never done it, if you would just worship him? And that's our message. That's what we tell people. And why does he want this to happen? Let's go to verse 4, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 4. And this is, in a way, if we were living in Israel, and we were under the authority of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses, This is what we would all have to do. And but we're not under the Torah. We're not the special promised people of God as Americans. And so this is not our edict. But this is what God was telling the Jewish nation to do if they knew somebody that had sacrificed their son to Molech or daughter. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. So, this is in the time of Moses, this is happening. Jeremiah is hundreds of years later. And so what was happening? The whole nation was either involved in it or accolating it, affirming the sacrificing of their sons and daughters. And what did God say? If you guys hide your face and you don't do anything about it, then all of you are going to be judged. And the whole nation of Israel was judged. And now think about this in light of our state, not just our country. Did you know that in this legislative session, you know what the primary objective of this legislative session, the priorities of our governor, who is quitting, he's not going to be running for re-election. Some people think it's because he's going to be running for president of the United States. I'm serious. And his priority was to push through 5 bills to protect the abortion industry and the transgender, making it safe for kids to turn into lesbians, homosexuals, transvestite, whatever else they want to do, protect them from parents, protect them from anybody else, protect the doctors who want to do the abortions, want to do the surgeries. He called us, and he just called a special session yesterday to bring the legislature back, because one of his other prime objectives was to make drug use sorcery, to make it so that no drug becomes a criminal offense within the state of Washington. And even some Democrats go, wow, we have enough problems with what we're doing already. So they join with the Republicans to say, no, we're not going to pass this bill. Well, he called a special session. He's going to be pressuring them for that. And while I'm on the drug scene, and there's people here who have been miraculously delivered from drugs, aren't we thankful for that? And they were destroying their lives. Dustin was telling me today that he needed prison. If it wasn't for being able to going to prison on drug charges, he probably wouldn't be here. He'd probably be dead by now. And so, so there was the idea of drug use. Sorcery has consequences in our culture. No, it can't be affirmed. It can't be allowed. It can't be. And so what did we do as a state? We started just giving free needles. We started giving nurses that were injecting people with drugs. And then all of a sudden Seattle turned crazy. And we have all these drug crimes and everything else that are going on because they affirmed it. And you know what drugs are? Drugs are a gateway into full possession, full bore serving Satan. Does Satan bring mental health or does he destroy mental health? He possesses people. And he destroys them. And we don't, the culture, the godless culture doesn't look at it like, man, you know, ever since we started this free drug stuff, we have more homelessness, more tent camps, more drug use, more crime. Maybe that was a bad decision. Maybe those God-fearing people were telling us we shouldn't do this because all this stuff is going to happen and it happened. Let's turn around. No, they don't turn around. They want to pass laws to make it so all drugs are not a criminal offense in the state. And not only that, as all these people are getting mental health, all the news media is, mental health. It's not sin and rebellion against God and the consequences of it. It's like all of a sudden there's this mental health thing that we have to deal with. And King County just approved a $1 billion levy to create mental health houses around. How many people live in King County? Divide the number of people in King County to $1 billion. And so now these few working families that want to stay in a place with a bunch of people that are serving Satan and acting it out. And so then they're staying there and they have to take their hard-earned money to go pay for housing for people that are being deceived into a drug lifestyle that's destroying their life. I mean, we're done, you know, because evil is becoming good, good is becoming evil, and we would love to be able to, and, you know, others and I have gone into the prisons and the jails and ministered to people that have been deceived into lifestyles that have brought them into jail, into prison. And some of those people have come and thanked us for going in there to tell them about Jesus. And instead of, but they don't want us to do that. They're not letting us back into the jail after COVID. You know why? You know what they tell us? We don't have enough jailers, and there is such a mental health problem, it's not safe to let you come in here anymore. They say it's because these, and I called a jailer friend of mine and said, is that true? Is it like more dangerous in jail because there's just that many more, you know, mental health possessed, in my mind, possessed people that are locked up in jail that could just go wiggy in a second? Yep, that's what's happening. See, when I would go in, it wasn't like I felt like somebody was like a possessed, ready to kill me kind of person. You know, they were just guys that were in there that messed up their life, and they were in there, and we were able to minister to them. And there was one time where, you know, two guys wanted to fight. That was the only problem that we had over those years of going there. And now they're saying it's too dangerous. Or they're just not wanting us to come in. We're going to work on that because we're going to talk to the sheriff and go, okay, well then, one-on-one, you know, we want to meet with somebody that wants to do a Bible study. We're going to do something to try and get in and be able to minister to them. Verse 6. And let me just back up. So, I mean, if the Bible's true, then what would we expect the future for Washington State, the United States of America, to be? Great things are ahead of us for America? No. And God brought the Babylonians, which were idol-worshipping crazies. But God said, you know, I'm bringing them because you were supposed to be my witness people, and I don't care if they're more wicked or as wicked as you. That's them. You were you. You were supposed to worship me, and I have to discipline you. America will be gone. And we know that prophetically, too. If we're in the last days, America's going because we're going to get into a 10-nation global empire. But the Bible's true. We can't do what we're doing. Keep on sticking our finger in the eyes of God and get away with it as a country. We can get away with it with Jesus. You know, we can't get away in any way of our own doing, but we can say, Jesus, I know what's coming. And I want to just get on you. I want you to be my all in all and be set free from what's coming down. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. So he is saying, kick them out. If they're not going to worship me in the Jewish nation under my authority, my laws to be a witness people, if they're going to go off into medium and spirits, let them go off to the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Midianites, and everybody else. That's what they do. That's not what my witness people do. They have to go. Because there are demonic powers behind these practices, and it will deceive the people. Did the Jews listen to that? No. They brought it into their culture. What happened? Then all the other evil, wicked stuff happened, and they were judged by God. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. He sets us apart. You have to let me be God. God is saying, as he says to us, you have to let me be God. I created you. I want you to be a witness people. And that's what we are, as a church, are supposed to do. We are supposed to be a witness people by saying, the Lord our God is, he is God. He has given us these kind of laws that apply to us today, just as they did back then. We're under the grace where we've broken those laws and we can be forgiven by Jesus, but we want to obey these. We want these laws to be our laws. For everyone who, and then it goes on, for, you know, almost like this is what will be the cause of the people turning away from letting me be God. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood be upon him. Four implies it's tied to the above. Because it has to start somewhere. The parents are worshiping God. And then what happens? A generation of kids that want to be in rebellion against their parents who are teaching them the Word of God. And if that's tolerated and they curse their mom and dad for, you know, you cursed, you know, you want me to go to church. You want me to believe in the Bible. And then they start cursing their mom and dad. If that is allowed, then it's going to spread to that generation. And guess what? In one generation, you lose the country. Did that ever happen? Read the book of Judges. You know, as soon as they get over into the promised land and they conquer under Joshua, then you get into Judges. And what happens? God blesses them because of their obedience. Kids grow up, become rebellious. The people start worshiping idols and everything else. That generation goes away. And now they're in the evil wickedness. God oppresses them. And they cry out to God, "We messed up." And then there's revival. So they get oppressed because they turn away from the things. And so there was a generational up and down. And it's very important for us to instill in our children. We aren't doing this just to make you a good person. We're not doing this because we want to believe in this created God thing and this created Bible thing. No, He's truly created us. And He's told us who He is. He's told us what is good and evil. And we listen to Him or we suffer the consequences of rebelling against our Creator. And the law would have a tendency to really put down juvenile delinquency. I am sure that if that would have been the case when I was growing up and I saw my fellow delinquents getting executed because of the rebellion, I would have had a little bit more tendency to believe, you know, to be honoring to my dad and my mom. Even though they weren't telling me about Jesus. And you know what, though? Even a godless parent in the generation I was growing up in, because he wasn't telling me, "Hey, smoke some marijuana and do this, do that." He was still that part of the God-fearing generation that didn't believe in Jesus. If I would have listened to him, he had good wisdom to help me stay alive. But I was rebelling against that. And it's only by a miracle of God in several occasions that I lived through my juvenile delinquency against parental authority. Which was, I mean, it was bad. And it was a miracle that I didn't die. Leviticus 20:10. "The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." What's the most famous person in the Bible that should have applied to? King David. According to the law, King David and Bathsheba should have both been put to death. But the cool thing about it, even in the Old Testament, when David finally opens his eyes to what he's done, and what does he do? He cries out to God for mercy in Psalm 51. He cries out to God for mercy, and it's not like Old Testament God, bad God, New Testament God, good God. Even in the Old Testament, he was looking for people that had a broken heart for being deceived in rebellion against God. And as soon as he said, "God, against you and you only have I sinned, renew a right spirit within me. You know, bulls and goats you don't want. What you want is a broken and contrite spirit. And I'm coming with a broken, contrite spirit. God, I killed my, Bathsheba's husband and other people. I committed adultery with her in complete rebellion to your law. And I brought destruction to this nation," which thousands of people ended up dying because of that. Thousands. The civil war in Israel can be directly attributed to what David did. Had he not done it, they would not have had the civil war with Absalom and all the other stuff, because when David had that immorality, the son rapes the half-sister, and then Absalom gets all upset that daddy didn't deal with that, was because what was supposed to happen to the son? Supposed to be executed. Is David going to execute his son? He knows, the whole nation now knows what he did. And so you lose the moral high ground as a parent. You no longer can deal with things, because then everybody's going to say, "You hypocrite. Really? You're going to kill me when you did Bathsheba and you didn't die. You just cried out to God." And so it just completely opened up the gate for Satan to destroy the nation of Israel. And we have to remember that immorality is opening the gate for Satan to destroy your family, to destroy the country? It's really not amen. We don't want that to happen. You know, let it be so. Anyway, I pray that the Lord Jesus, and here again, if anybody here has been involved in adultery, fornication, you know, again, abortion, everything else, that this whole message is not a condemnation message. It's a message that drives us all to just say, you know what? God sent Jesus to die for even me. This is basking in the grace of God that they had back in the Old Testament, if they did cry out to God like David. But you know what? It's also a lesson that whatever happens in our life that causes us to sin and rebel against God, there's consequences with it. And we just live with the consequences, which can be, as even Paul, he lived with the consequences of killing Stephen his whole life, you can tell. I persecuted the church to death. And it's for this reason I work harder. You know, I'm not perfectly quoting this, but it drove him to serve God even more. So that's what we should do. And that's what Jesus said. He who is forgiven much loves much. And he who loves Jesus much wants to do what Jesus said. And so we turn the heartaches of life into, I'm so in love with the Jesus who would forgive me for these things, that we serve him. And so it's, none of this should be condemnation. And so, verse 11. Man, the time is just going. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, the penalty for what is outlawed in chapter 19. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, again, just deals with chapter 19, put to death. If he lies with a male, homosexuality, as he lies with a woman, both of them who have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality is death penalty. It used to be against the law in every state of this country. Homosexuality was called sodomy, and you could go to jail. They wouldn't kill you for it, but you would go to jail for long periods of time. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it's wickedness. They shall be burned. We covered this a couple weeks ago. If a man mates with an animal, put to death, the animal's killed because there can be spreading of diseases among the animals after there's been this immorality, this uncleanness. Same thing for a woman. They're to be put to death. Bestiality is becoming widespread in our culture. Then there's incest in verse 17. And you're not supposed to uncover the nakedness, incest of your sister. And we talked about how that is now codified compared to Cain and Abel, or Cain married one of his sister's cousins or whatever else. It was okay back then. Again, we talked about this with genetics. But if you ever want to see what happens now, God in his wisdom said, you can't do this. Inline, you know, breeding, really, of humans. You see what happens when people violate that. Going to West Virginia, there's the meet the Whitakers inside America's most inbred family that speaks in grunts. That you can, if you Google it, and you just put in meet the Whitakers inside America's most inbred family that speaks in grunts, and you look at the pictures of them, they're horrible genetic defects. Mentally, physically, unable to talk because incest with family, inline family. And so what we now know about genetics, one of the beauties is there can be a slight defect in your gene, but you're marrying outside your family, which doesn't have that same genetic on that same strand of DNA. And so then the undamaged takes over in the code of the combined genetics. Now you have the one that makes it so that you're not going to embrace or you're not going to be affected by that genetic defect. And if they have the same genetic defect, then all of a sudden bad things happen. God knew that and he codified in here, don't do close relative relationships. And then we'll stop with verse 17. or again, the end of 17, he has uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his guilt. So what is that really saying? You know, within a family, there should be no peeping on your relatives. There, and actually, there should be no peeping on anybody, right? There should be no peeping Toms in the family, in the neighborhood, whatever else. Why? Because in God's ideal, the only unnakedness you cover is the unnakedness of what will be your wife on wedding day or your husband on wedding day. That's all that your mind should see. There should be no pictures in your mind of anybody else. And that's what God's ideal is. Is that being violated today? I mean, the porn plague is just absolutely unbelievable. And I, you know, if anybody's involved with it, you better, you know, like Jesus says, cut your right hand off, cut your left hand off, you know, destroy your phone, shoot your TV, you know, whatever else you have to do. I mean, and Jesus wasn't kidding around. I mean, if this is really what's going to control your life, and Dustin was there at a men's retreat that we had once where a guy said, yeah, I had such a problem, I went to the doctor and I got castrated. So, I mean, he literally did that. And, okay, you know, you can counsel people, man, I'm really struggling. Okay, you can do what this one guy did, or you can just stop. Which, you know, that would be the better thing to do. And now look at what Satan has brought to our culture. Satan has brought every single possible way, so easy, so clandestine, to peep on everybody, anybody, all the time, violating this law to the destruct. This is another reason that we're destroyed, because God sees all this, and it breeds in the minds of people that are involved in the porn, Snapchat, you know, send me a picture of you, or I'm not going to date you anymore, all that kind of stuff happening in school. And so then that's violated, and women all of a sudden get so horribly treated by a man, they don't want a man anymore, they want a woman. I mean, it just breeds the entire destruction, sexual immorality, destruction of our culture. I don't do any of the social media, I don't have any apps, I don't have a smartphone. All because I saw what this is all going to do. And I, not that I'm saying that anybody that has a smartphone is in sin, but don't let it control you. You are in sin if your phone is controlling you to rebel and be against what God is saying in this area. And so I heard that Snapchat was a secret way that people could send. What does Snapchat do? You know what it's for? It's for single girls. Snapchat is a great, for single girls, Snapchat is a great resource. It allows them to browse through Snapchat profiles of other singles or communicate with potential dating prospects in a fun, unique way. And what are kids really doing with that? Because from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they can send a picture that disappears. Is that true? 30 seconds, okay. Now do you think it disappears everywhere? Where else, where does it not disappear? In the cloud. And you know what? They know that you Snapchatted that picture and you let it go away. Do you think that could ever be used against you at any time when they want to, a pastor wants to not go woke and they go, hey, pastor, you know, we noticed, you know, the cloud here, we're here just representing the New World Order. And we just noticed that, we can go public with this, or you can just start affirming the homosexual agenda. I mean, I don't know that that's happening, but I put in my mind through all the porn options, I'm never going to do that because they're not going to do that with honesty. They're not going to come into my office and show something that I've done and then try and blackmail me. And I've had this conviction for over a decade. I mean, a conviction about porn for decades. Since I became a Christian, but I have it more of a conviction that I'm worried, not just worried about what God says and what he knows, because he knows everything. He's the ultimate cloud. but most people don't fear God. So I want to fear God and man, that the cloud would be messed up. And then it goes on, and it says, another benefit of using Snapchat is, and they put their quotation, you know, I'm doing air quotes here, secret communications with people your partner is not aware of. Oh, So, and this was just me typing in on a search, what is Snapchat? And so what do they come down with when you have the little things underneath that? You know, what is it and what do you do and what's it used for and stuff? And they're saying you can have an adulterous affair. You can have adulterous sharing of uncovering the nakedness of somebody that's not your spouse secretly. So how many ways do we see our nation and the world completely violating everything that we just covered? That God is then going to get it to the end where it says, and if you do these things, you're destroyed. And we have every single one of those. And so when people say, there's going to be a great revival, 2024, everything's going to be okay. When we realize all this stuff is God sees it all and the Babylon is coming again. It's not the Babylon of of the Mesopotamian, Valley, Tigris Euphrates Valley. It's the Babylon of the global government that's coming. It's Babel is coming to destroy everything and bring the most global time of disaster the world has ever seen. And Jesus promised to take us out just before that happens. And we're almost there. I mean, we're almost there. Jesus is coming soon. For us, thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings to memory everything that you've written to me. I want to embrace what you tell us because you're God and I'm not. I want to embrace it and I want to thank you for saving me and I want to serve you until you come and nobody's going to tell me that I have to be woke when I want to be with you and I can just serve you until you come. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy upon us. Help us to just serve you in a deeper compassion and love for you, for what you have done to set us free from this wicked world and where it's going. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.
I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say, I love you, you are everything to me, and I exalt your holy name, I exalt your holy your holy name on high. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say, I love you, you are everything to me. Your holy name, I exalt your holy name, I exalt your holy name on high, and I exalt your holy name. Exalt your holy name, I exalt your holy name on high.
Maybe just have a special time tonight exalting him for what he's done for us. And it really, I've been, he's coming. Let's thank him. And just if, for whatever you feel like, man, these things, I wish I would have had this in my life before, just thank him. God, it's in my life now, and I thank you for your grace and mercy. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.